saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, have all the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Just heard a song about farther along when we're going to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You start thinking about, that ought to make you smile for a while. We're blessed as a people. Turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. We have been doing a study for the past few weeks on personal holiness. We took our original text from Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." The first message was establishing that men by nature don't have peace or holiness. That has to come from God in the new birth and through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is our peace, and the Holy Spirit of God is the one who brings about the work of regeneration, the new birth, and imparts to us a holy nature. And we looked at that some last week, and then we also defined what holiness is as we looked at 1 John chapter 1. And in reality, I think in its simplest terms, when you have been born of God and you share in common a holy nature, because that's what the Spirit of God gives you in the new birth. He gives you a new nature that corresponds with God's holy nature. And in its most basic form, holiness is really agreeing with God. Loving what God loves. And on the flip side, hating what He hates. God loves purity, truth, grace, and He hates sin in all of its forms. And if we're going to walk in agreement with God, if we're going to walk in the light as He is in the light, in holiness, we have to love what He loves. And this needs to be a part of us. We need to start asking God every day, "Lord, help me to love You and love what You love more than anything else in this world." I mean, that's really the essence of the first and greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, again, the Spirit of God works in us. So today we're going to look at some characteristics of holiness, how it shows itself, and how it's displayed in our lives. And it should be no surprise that if you're being made more holy, it's because the Holy Spirit of God is filling you and producing fruit in you. Look over here at Galatians chapter 5. Very familiar. And if you read Galatians 5, a lot of it has to do with a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. In fact, he says in verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." I'm going to guarantee you're not exhibiting holiness if you're hateful toward your brother. If young people, if you're hateful toward your parents, you're not exhibiting holiness. And the other side of that is true as well. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Again, walk in Him, abide in Him, alongside Him, following Him, His directive, His instruction. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And when you're doing that, you're not going to want to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So we'll explain that further.
I'm glad you asked.
Because it's right here. It tells you exactly what the lust of the flesh is all about. For the flesh, verse 17, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You're not under the law's condemnation. When you are walking in the Spirit, you're in agreement with Him and with what's been revealed in the Word of God. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, all dealing with sexual immorality. You're not going to live a holy life if you're sexually immoral and living in impurity. Lasciviousness, idolatry. That's putting anything before God. So I never do. I've never bowed down to a statue. I've never made a graven image. Maybe not physically, but you have in your heart. You put plenty of things before God. He goes on, idolatry, witchcraft, that has to do with the occult. It even has some reference to drug use and inebriation and not having your right mind. Well, there's a lot of that work of the flesh going on in our world today. In fact, they're going to be slinging dope on every corner in the state of Ohio pretty soon. Where they just voted in that we can, that marijuana is a recreational drug. Now, I know I'm getting on some things now. This may be meddling. I'm going to tell you something. If I were to go over into Huntington today and talk to the homeless people that are heroin addicts and all how we need to pray for them, I can almost guarantee you to a man that they started out alcohol and marijuana as gateway drugs that led to other things, stronger things, that led to addiction. I can almost guarantee it. Now you say, how do you know so much about that? I know by experience as a young man, it was a gateway drug for me. Now I never shot any heroin, and I thank God that He protected me from that. Because that really, if that gets a hold of you, your only hope is God. But this is a society we live in. People are living for the lust of the flesh. Drugs, alcohol. There's all kinds of occult witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envies. Boy, there's a whole lot of foul things. You say those words, and they stink. There's a stench associated with those words. A moral stench. Because they all create division and chaos and wickedness. These are the lusts of the flesh. You're not going to live a holy life if you are engaging in these fleshly lusts. He goes on. Emulations, wrath, or verse 21, envyings. You know that in our society, what's the crux of the socialist message, the Marxist message? You find the oppressed and the oppressor, and you pit them one against another. You cause the oppressed to have an undue envy of what the oppressor, so-called, has. And the whole system's based on envy and jealousy and hatred for another person. That doesn't do any society any good. All right? Revelings. And such like of the which I tell you before, As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, if that's your life, if your course of life is living for the flesh, you're not a child of God. It's just that clear, that plain. Because when God saves you, He changes you. Now, He doesn't make you perfect. Yes, you have a holy nature, but you still have an old nature. That's why you've got to war against, mortify, crucify, put to death fleshly lust at war against the soul. But there is a huge difference. The Holy Spirit creates such a powerful new nature, new direction. He lives within you. He enlightens your mind to the truth of the Word of God so that you can see things like God sees them and be in agreement with them. Again, the essence of holiness. And you walk in the Spirit. Here is how holiness is displayed in a very practical way. But the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this is what the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit produces in a child of God. Now, mind you, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the power of the new birth. And that continues in this work of sanctification, where He is making you more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to resemble Him. So what does the Spirit produce in us? In some measure, in some degree. And isn't it interesting, the very first aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is love. What did Jesus say about love? If you love Me, keep My commandments. Jesus said, "Ye are My friends if you do whatsoever I command you." If you love God, you're going to delightfully do what He says. You're going to cheerfully obey, even when it goes against your flesh, because you love Him supremely. It'll reflect in your life on a day-by-day basis. It'll affect your thought life. It will affect the way that you treat people within your family, within your workplace. People ought to see that we love the Lord and that we love the Word of God, we love His truth, and we love people. We want to see people saved by the grace of God. We want to share the love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And so we do whatever we can to display a testimony of genuine love for souls. You got to practice it every day. Even when you don't feel like it. You take a good look at me. I'm kind of unlovable sometimes. Now, I know you think I'm just a cuddly fuzzball of a preacher. Oh, he could never be angry. Yeah, I am sometimes. But you know what? My wife loves me in spite of that, because she walks in the Spirit. And it's true for all of us. You've got to make the commitment, the determination to do what the Spirit of God is working in you and have genuine love that can forgive, that can be a blessing, that's full of respect. These are all characteristics of genuine love, sacrificial in the way we live, preferring one above another. That's all a part of love. Last week I was getting on Josh about something, and I said, "Do you love me?" He said, yeah, you're my dad. Keep my commandments. Now, I misapplied the scripture a little bit, but I was trying to get through here. You know, if you love somebody, you're not going to try to do anything that would harm them or hurt them. You're going to try to promote their best, the best thing. And the best thing is to draw, is to try to be a testimony that displays the love of God and the fact that you love Him. Joy. Again, these are so practical. Is the Spirit working in you? Well, you'll be joyful. Even when the circumstances may not call for exuberance, you'll have a deep-seated joy in your heart. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You've been saved. You've been washed in the blood. You have all the promises of God. That's the way I started today. We ought to be the most joyful people. We ought to joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God produces joy in the children of God. Now sometimes it may be at a higher level than others. I fully admit to that. But we, of all people, we shouldn't be morose and sullen and hateful in the way we carry ourselves in this world. If anybody should be joyful, it's somebody who knows that they're going to heaven through Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace. Again, this is how holiness is displayed. Justification, you have peace with God. Sanctification, this progressive work, means that you are, God is working His peace in you. So that you have this inward calmness, tranquility, resignation to the will of God on a day-by-day basis, and you live a peaceful life. You're not always just tore up about everything. Because the Spirit of God is working peace in you. Long-suffering. Oh, you got kids? You had a little taste of it then. To know what it means to be long-suffering. And that's the way that we ought to be with one another. You know, a lot of times people focus on the faults of people. And they have a critical spirit. But the reality is, were it not for the grace of God, you could be one of the worst sinners or hypocrites in the world. God sure has been long-suffering with us. And He works this in us. Gentleness. Oh, it's an, see, the farther I get going on this, the more convicted I get. This gentleness of spirit. I need a lot of work in that area. But to have this attitude, this desire to manifest kindness and compassion. He goes on, goodness. Just doing good. Displaying goodness. Seeking the good of others. That was the mark of the Lord Jesus. The Scripture said He went about doing good. And I wonder, do we think about these things on a daily basis? Are we displaying goodness? It's part of living a holy life. The Spirit working in us. Faith. Believing God. Trusting His Word. Taking it as it is written. Acting upon it in obedience. Believing the promises. and ridding ourselves of anything that would cause us to be unbelieving. Tell you what, if you listen to this world very long, your head, your heart will be filled with all kinds of doubts, all kinds of fears. That's why I encourage you, you've got to learn to turn things off and just go to the Word. Think deeply upon God, His Word, His truth, the way your life is being lived. Faith. A walk of faith. God will use that in a powerful way. When others see that you're trusting God, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You see that? That's faith, man. Every moment, every day, striving. I'm trusting You for everything, Lord. And then living that. This is how you practice holiness. This is what the Spirit of God produces in those He has given the new birth. Regenerated. I did a whole series on this. In fact, I wrote a book on it. It's a real catchy title. I called it The Fruit of the Spirit. You all, I'm sure you remember every sermon I preached on that. It's been several years ago that I wrote the book. And really, it's not an authoritative work. Except for the Scriptures that are in it. But I felt compelled. I thought that this is a subject matter that needs to be looked at deeply. And then worked out practically. In the way we live. The fruit of the Spirit. It should be operating in our lives. Faith. Meekness. That's a complete resignation to God in every circumstance. In times of difficulty and trial, you meekly submit to the providence of God. And that attitude of meekness is reflected in the way that you live. Temperance. Self-control. So vital if you're going to walk in the Spirit. You just can't do everything you want to do. Because a lot of what you want to do ain't worth a nickel in the eyes of God. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of things that people do in our lives without any control of their fleshly passions, and it ruins them. And if you're not temperate, if you're not practicing self-control, you can ruin your testimony. So if you're going to live a holy life, you need to pray that God will bring you under the control of the Spirit all day, every day. Under the control and the authority of His Word. Rather than your own fleshly passions, your desires, your longings, which are often sinful. If you actually examine it. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in agreement. Walk in such a way that people can see that God is in us of a truth. Remember what they said about Peter and James and John in the book of Acts? Now, I didn't have this in my notes, but I think it's in Acts chapter 4 or 5. If I can't find it, I'll have to say it's in there. Oh, here it is. It follows one of my most favorite verses. Like all of them, I say, are my favorite verses. But I quote this one a lot. You probably have it memorized. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now verse 13, the response to this truth. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. God bless them. They weren't the experts. They were fishermen. Man, if you're a commercial fisherman, you stink a lot. You know? They regarded them as unlearned, ignorant. But it says, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a powerful statement. Is the Holy Spirit developing fruit in your life that's being displayed on a day-by-day basis? And you know what? As you boldly proclaim your allegiance to Christ and you explain to others that He is the way of salvation and peace, they're going to observe. And hopefully in their mind they're going to say, He's been with Jesus. He knows Jesus Christ of a truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who imparts to us that new nature and the new birth. He's also the one who produces holy fruit in our life. The fruit of the Spirit enables us to crucify and mortify the deeds of the flesh. So, this ought to be something we focus on every day. We're going to live a holy life. Are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Children who are saved, is that the way you are interacting with your parents, with those in authority, with your classmates? Parents, is this the way that you are displaying? Because see, you can come to church all cleaned up, your hair parted, teeth brushed, everything in place. You're looking good today. Boy, you all are looking good. God bless you. You know what? I'm talking about day-to-day living. Not just when you're at your best, all shined up. But I'm talking about living for the Lord, walking in the Spirit, serving Him on a day-by-day basis. Are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our home, at our workplace? This is one of the main characteristics of holiness. That we are being submissive to the Holy Spirit working in us and changing us. And like I told the Sunday school this morning, nearly everything that the Holy Spirit does in us is countercultural. It's completely counter to what the world is, the message they're sending. So it's a difficult thing. I want to cover one other aspect today, and I think it's so vital. Again, it goes back to this idea of love. And that's the first and greatest commandment, to love God. And the second greatest commandment, when Jesus boiled it all down, the first four commandments, the first table of the law, the moral law, is toward God. The last six are toward men. And so He boiled it all down and said, What's the essence of what real love is? You love God and you love your neighbor. Holiness is characterized by brotherly love as commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've always found it fascinating that Jesus said, the one thing where men will see that your life has been changed in a powerful way is they'll see the love you have for one another, for other believers. Remember when he said that? Get your Rolodex. Where's your scriptural Rolodex going to? Don't answer, Al. Brother Malo is like the kid in class that knows every single answer. And the teacher wants somebody else to answer. And, hey! I know it! And then sometimes they just can't hold it in and they just blurt it out. All right, so Al. I love teasing him. John 13. Remember what he said in verse 34? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, if you love somebody, you love your neighbor as yourself, what's that mean? Well, the essence of it is, if you look at Romans 13, you don't do other people harm. You actively try to promote blessing rather than cursing and harm. And because I love my fellow man, I'm not going to commit adultery with that man's wife. Because I love my fellow man and value them, I'm not going to steal what belongs to them. I'm not going to bear false witness against them. I'm not going to covet what they have. See, again, this is so practical. But I think it goes even deeper when it comes to believers. We are to love one another as Jesus loved us. Jesus denied Himself in order to bless us. You know, when Paul was trying to straighten out a little squabble among the Philippians, he said this, and he brought out one of the greatest practical or greatest doctrinal truths in the Word of God, but it started out with the subject of the love of Christ and how we're to interact with one another. He said in Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like man-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Boy, there's a whole lot of the fruit of the Spirit in those two verses. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Isn't that a tough one? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes into one of the greatest doctrinal statements, the hypostatic union of Christ, how that He was God and man in one body.
This is how we display that we truly belong to Jesus. That He has bought us with His own blood. That we love Him supremely. That we're following Him. And the Spirit of God will direct you into a life of love. And that's why a church should not be known for contention and variance and gossip and hatefulness. There should be an attitude of love. A desire to be a blessing, an encouragement, a help to one another. Preferring one above another. So holiness is characterized by displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me give you an assignment. Students love assignments. This week, think often. Refresh yourself daily what the fruit of the Spirit consists of. And then ask yourself, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I displaying these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit today? See how that goes with you this week. Preaching should not just be an accumulation of knowledge and information that you're receiving. It should be transformative. Let me challenge you to take this message and live it out this week. And then love. Unconditionally, sacrificially, like Jesus did. You cannot claim to be holy if you don't love those whom Jesus loved. I'll close with this quote. A holy man. No, you know what? That's next week's sermon. I'm saving that for next week. It is a good one. So what have we covered today? Through the Spirit, brotherly love. I know you were thinking, I thought holiness was something so mystical. You know, that you were going to get in, we're going to learn something we've never heard before. If you learn something you never heard before, you're in the wrong church. Everything that we believe and teach ought to be based on thus saith the Lord. And what the Word says. And it says, walk in the Spirit. And the Word says to love one another, even as Jesus loved you. I hope you know the love of God in Christ. There's nothing more wonderful in all the world than to know that you've been saved by the grace of God. That your sins have been put away, washed away by the blood of Jesus, His sacrificial death. And that you have eternal life because He died for you and He rose again from the dead for you. I urge you today to look to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let's all stand.
Page 311.
His battery's dying.